death and life in the power of the tongue. If you come to believe that, it'll change your entire life.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called Just Say It. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here now is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? You change your words, and you can change your world. Because God has made you like Him and given you speech. And as the creature that's made in His own image, because His words are powerful, so are yours. We are coming into a little short series. I'm calling it Just Saying. It's about the life-changing power of your words. And today, we start right at the very opening verse of the Bible. Pay attention to the things that show up first in the Bible. And here's one of the instances. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. There was evening. There was morning. The first day. God said, and God called. And then just over to the next chapter, this creature that was made in His own image, Adam. We don't know that these are the first words that the human creature spoke, but it's the first recorded instance of him using language at verse 19 of chapter 2. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. I have two older brothers. My middle brother, Mark, who is in many ways different than my oldest brother, David, and I, who both played tennis and were both English majors. Mark played ice hockey, middle linebacker, and loves to hunt. My oldest brother, David, is a lawyer, and my middle brother was a computer scientist. And one instance, many years ago, my nephew Christopher was little. I don't know if he was 4 years old or five or something. And I was there with my two brothers, and somehow it came up of asking little Christopher about his dad and his two uncles as some invitation to describe them or say who they were. And he first said, well, my daddy is an officer. And we said, an officer? We said, what do you mean, officer? He said, he goes to the office. He works at an office. We still use that cute little phrase in our house. Sometimes I'll go home and Ann will say, well, what'd you do today? I say, I was just an officer today. Just an officer. And he said, Uncle Mark, what about him? He said, well, he shoots big animals. That just is his summation of, he was fascinated by that thought. And he said, and what about Uncle Alan? He said, he tells people about Jesus. And I thought, isn't it interesting that a little one has at least some capacity to call things what they are. And in fact, he came a lot closer to a reality than he or any of us might have at first thought. And he's captured something about who my oldest brother, the officer, David, is, who has always been a student and a scholar and a hardworking lawyer who spends a lot of time at the office. He's a thoughtful person. My brother Mark, one who shoots big animals, has always been adventuresome, always wanting to be in a little bit more high adrenaline. And me, well, you sum it up if you say he exists to tell people about Jesus. Little Christopher called us by the right names. Isn't that something? But something happens to us as our sin nature becomes more prevalent within us. There's something that happened to humanity when our sin nature became like a poison that tainted all of our thoughts. We lost the capacity to call things what they really are. I was drawn to this text years ago when I heard Dudley Hall preach on this, the idea of Adam naming the animals. It spurred us so much of this thought. See, Adam, before sin, had the God-given capacity to call things by the correct name. God created by speaking, so God's words have creative force. And then once he created, God called it what it was. And for a long time, I might have thought, well, this little story about Adam naming the animals is just sort of a primitive artifact of some early explanation of how things got their name. But I now see, no, we don't have many stories about what Adam did in paradise, but this is highlighted. Why? Because God is showing us in the same way that God called things what they are. When there's no sin in humanity, then human beings, the ones made in God's image, can call things what they are. And so God brought animals in front of Adam, and he called them properly. He knew, for example, that none of these animals were suitable for his helpmate. He didn't see a pig or a cow and say, "That's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He didn't say that until God made Eve. He had the capacity to see what things are, call them what they are. But when sin came into the world, that capacity was distorted. And it led to where we began to call things what they're not and be confused about it. And it led eventually to the point that Paul in Romans essentially said, we became so confused that we called that which is evil good and that which is good evil. I want to talk to you today about this particular aspect of the power of your speech, name calling. This whole environment that we live in now, especially that we see in the political arena of all this name calling and it's just an adult version of a scene that's seen on every school playground where some child says to another one, "You're stupid." Another child says, "Am not, R2, am not, R2, am not, R2, am not." What are they doing? It's as if even a little child knows, if you call me by a name that is not correct, I have to somehow resist that. Because if I accept it, it will become me. Because if you take a name and you believe it is your name, you will become it. And our attempt to label people by what they are not is an attempt to identify so as to restrict. And God has a different plan. He came in the person of Jesus Christ to set us free from the costly, destructive error of mislabeling things and people, and instead has given us the opportunity to bless. and to see into the essence spiritually, deeply, mystically, supernaturally, into what is and what can be according to God's plan, and call it that.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series. In this tough season of global pandemic, there is a global opportunity of hope coming tomorrow. The well-known National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 5th, it's an opportunity to make a difference, an opportunity to experience the promise of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm so happy that Giving Tuesday has decided to have a very special day right here in the middle of pandemic. It's an opportunity to make a big, big difference. We are in a global pandemic, but we're getting to make a global difference by the gospel and to practice what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. So the days are dark, but we can share the light of Christ. And Daniel, as always, I just want to remind our listeners, when you give to Sharing the Light, you're enabling tens of thousands of people all over the nation to hear the good news of Jesus Christ on the radio, internet, and print. And we are more passionate than ever before about broadcasting the message of grace. And we certainly appreciate your partnership.
Again, to participate in Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org or by calling right now, 877-544-4860, 877-544-4860, sharingthelight.org or 877-544-4860. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Words are so powerful. God made us in a way that speech would be powerful. If you want to know the primary reason that our words are so powerful, it is simply because God made us this way. And if I were to offer no other explanation than that should suffice. He designed us, gave us speech, and has ordained it that our words will have power. He created by speaking, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The words have capacity when they come forth from God to create something that did not exist. Now, it's not magic. And when we talk about the power of our words, it's not magic. Magic is where you think that you can just have these magical words that you put together like some incantation and some hocus pocus and recite a certain thing over and over and it just makes it happen. That's something God says has nothing to do with magic. You're not stirring a pot and announcing some special words that, no. For God's word to have power, what it really meant was God spoke in his breath, his ruach, which is also translated spirit, his breath, which fills his words like our breath fills our words, came forth as the very essence of God's own heart. His word is an expression of himself. And this is a way to say that God is in his word such that his word is God-breathed. So when his word goes forth, it's as though God has gone forth. This goes far to explain why in the prologue to John's gospel, in the opening verses, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is the Logos. This was thought to be by the Greek philosophers the ordering rational principle of the cosmos. And this concept of the Logos, which was written about by ancient philosophers, volumes, John takes this concept and says, this that you've always been speaking of, the Logos that orders all things, the Word, this is God. And says that when Jesus came into the world, you could understand him as the Word of God, the Logos. This goes far to explain why the scriptures are just spilling over, replete with admonitions to watch your tongue. We could spend hours and hours listing them. In Proverbs, there is no theme more prevalent in Proverbs than the theme of the power of the tongue. I'll give some examples. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life in the power of the tongue. If you come to believe that, it'll change your entire life. If you believe that's true, it'll change your entire life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. In this anxious world, a word, a good word, can lift anxiety. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Our words nourish people. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Countless marriages would be transformed by this one verse. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. You can avoid calamity by mastering your tongue. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Our words are related to our overall health. Proverbs 18:20, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. He's saying that the prosperity of your life is related to your words. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Life. It's interesting, and I'm going to deal with this text at another occasion. But when Isaiah is called into the ministry, he has this vision of God in all of his glory, holy, holy, holy. And when you see God's glory manifest in such a way, it's like a brilliant light that shines, and as that light shines brighter, it will reveal other imperfections. And he saw his own sin. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:5, woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isn't it interesting? He immediately associated his sin nature with unclean lips. And what God did, he sent one of the seraphim, flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken for tongs from the altar, and touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt's taken away, and your sin is atoned for. So the symbol was, by purging the uncleanliness of the mouth, the whole being was clean. And Isaiah was called into the ministry to speak the word of the Lord. Jesus said something curious in Matthew 15:11. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. And he's speaking here of people that thought that the ceremonial laws about what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, that that's what makes you clean or unclean. So if you don't eat any of the animals that are listed on the unclean list, that therefore you're holy and pure. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not what goes into your mouth. He says, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Wow. Paul even links the power of words to salvation itself. But what does it say? Romans 10:8 reads, the word is near you. The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What is he saying? He's saying that what you say with your mouth is so inextricably linked with what is in your heart that you cannot separate the two. He is saying essentially that salvation is not at all about what you do. Of course not. This is the Paul who teaches that everything is in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we saved? Not by any of our own merits, not by anything that we do, but our heart with simple childlike faith trusts in the saving work of Jesus. But what he's saying is, then until that is confessed with the mouth, the heart has not really believed it. Because what you actually believe in your heart, you speak about these things. You can't separate these things. Of course, James 3 famously speaks of this. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Just one little rudder will steer a huge ship. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So God designed us to have power in our words and then told us over and over, over and over and over in the Bible about how powerful our words are. I think it's important, if you want to think more deeply about why they are so powerful, to consider words as symbols. Now, symbols stand for something. And when that symbol is strong, that symbol carries with it the freight or the weight of that which it symbolizes. We know this because our world is so confused right now that, as I said earlier, we're calling things what they're not, and people are rising up to say, no, you can't call me that. Why do they care so much? Because the symbol is too intimately aligned with the essence. And so to speak the word as a symbol is to carry the weight of the essence.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching, Just Saying, Name-Calling the Creative Sustaining Power of Word. And we're placing a bookmark in the teaching for today. And Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio here in a moment, sharing a parting good news thought for the day. Please stay with us. In this tough season of global pandemic, there is a global opportunity of hope coming tomorrow. The well-known National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 5th, it's an opportunity to make a difference, an opportunity to experience the promise of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm so happy that Giving Tuesday has decided to have a very special day right here in the middle of pandemic. It's an opportunity to make a big, big difference. We are in a global pandemic, but we're getting to make a global difference by the gospel and to practice what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. So the days are dark, but we can share the light of Christ. And Daniel, as always, I just want to remind our listeners, when you give to Sharing the Light, you're enabling tens of thousands of people all over the nation to hear the good news of Jesus Christ on the radio, internet, and print. And we are more passionate than ever before about broadcasting the message of grace. And we certainly appreciate your partnership.
Again, to participate in Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org, or by calling right now, 877-544-4860, 877-544-4860, sharingthelight.org, or 877-544-4860. Back here in the studio to share Pastor Allen's parting good news thought for the day in this new series we've launched called Just Saying.
The power of our words is something we cannot overestimate. God gave Adam, Daniel, the capacity to call the names properly. It was something we lost when sin came in the world. Adam didn't see a pig and call that his helpmate, you know. And we can get so confused that we're calling things by the wrong name. How powerful it is, and we're going to learn more about this tomorrow, when you call things properly, when we can see others as God sees them, and we can assign the correct name. Yeah. Our words have indelible power. Got more to learn on this tomorrow.
Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production
of Sharing the Light Ministries.